Good to be back tonight. Seems like the weather can't get settled. Keep having these thunderstorms because of the weather. So interchangeable, it just keeps going from one extreme to another. And, of course, that always creates bad weather. It's real typical of the church today. The church just keeps going from one extreme to another. One day it's religious, the next day it's worldly. And it's just continually from one extreme to another, and it's always causing a problem. Always clashes in the church. How many of you ever went to tell Jesus when you had problems? Did you ever take it to the Lord Jesus and tell Jesus about it? Anytime you've got problems, if you go to Jesus, Jesus will help you. If you go to people, people will rend you and they will crush you. But if you'll go to Jesus, and if you tell Jesus, Jesus will help you. So then it is wonderful to know that we can go to Christ, go to the Lord in prayer, and tell him all of our problems. I think tonight we're just going to go right into the Word of God and talk about the Word of the Lord a little bit. You know, we come to church, of course, to worship the Lord. But the major reason we go to church is to learn about the Word of God and to understand God. There's a lot of things that we need to be taught from the Word of God, and that is how to worship the Lord. A lot of people don't know how to worship the Lord, and it takes a long time to really learn how to worship the Lord truthfully. We've been talking about some spiritual things that I've been trying to get into a little bit, and I love to get into them. And I say this so often, I do get into them. As a matter of fact, I live in them and walk in them. And there's not too much time in my life or days in my life, but what I am not in the wonderful mysteries of Christ. Because I love to be in the mysteries of Christ, and so I communicate with God every day to the extent that I have opportunity to get into the mysteries of Christ, and I talk about the mysteries of Christ, and he talks about them to me. So our communication is in the great, wonderful mysteries of God. But in the church, I don't get into the mysteries of Christ very much. Rarely that we get into the mysteries of Christ. It's mostly an exhortation or preaching. And then occasionally we get into one of the mysteries of God. But the reason is because we're not prepared for the mysteries of God. I remind you again that the disciples asked the question, why do you speak to these people in parables? Jesus said it is not given unto them to know the mysteries. So then people who do not prepare their hearts for mysteries, it is not given to them to know the mysteries. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like what God meant was it's not given unto the world out there to know the mysteries. Well, that's true. But it is also in the church the same way. If it is not in the church the same way, then the question arises as to why does the Bible say the meat is for the strong? They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then it is also for the church, in that if we do not exercise our senses, then are we not strong? If we are not strong, then are we babes in Christ? If we be babes in Christ, then do we desire the sincere milk of the word? And we do not get the mysteries. But as I say, I love the mysteries. I'm thankful that this is an individual affair. I'm real grateful that this is an individual affair. That way, if you had rather make money, or you'd rather be in business, or you'd rather be busy doing something, rather than to have the mysteries, then that doesn't hinder me. And if I had rather be in something that pertains to God, and you want to be in something that doesn't pertain to God, then I don't hinder you. And that way every man can have whatever he wants. If he wants money, then he can have money. If he wants the mysteries of Christ, then can he have the mysteries of Christ? He can have whatever he wants. God will give you the desires of your heart. And if you sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap a dollar. And ye shall of the flesh reap a car and a home and eating and drinking and clothing and education and whatever. And if ye sow to the Spirit, ye shall of the Spirit reap the mysteries and everlasting life. So it depends on where you put your time, put your thinking, put your substance. And I have a desire. It's like Brother Vep Ellis wrote a song one time, and his song was, I Have a Desire. And I have a desire, and that desire is to be with God and to do what God wants me to do. And I want to enter into the kingdom of God, don't you? I want to enter into the kingdom of God. I want to go into the kingdom of God. People as a whole have opportunity to go into the kingdom of God. But everybody doesn't enter into the kingdom of God. So he says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Your Father's good pleasure is to let you enter the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. So one day I went to God and I told the Father that I wanted the kingdom. And so he gave me the kingdom and he set up the kingdom of God in my heart. The Bible said the kingdom of God is in your heart. Therefore he gave me the kingdom. And since then I belong to the little flock. Not the big flock. A lot of religious people in the world and it's a big flock. But I'm talking about the little flock that's got the kingdom. This is a little flock. Bible said, despise not the day of little things. This is a little flock. I had a book that we had written, Betty and I. We'd written it a number of years ago. As a matter of fact, I noticed last night they took the book out for the first time in a long, long time. And noticed Betty had jotted down in the book at the time we wrote it. I was 27 years old. Betty, I don't know how she was, about 25, 6. But anyway, she had the ages wrote down of Rick and Dale and Cynthia, which was about 5 or 6, 3, 4, something. And the name of that book is It's the Kingdom of God. That's the name of the book, The Kingdom of God. And I thought that was really fitting according to the thing that's taking place and what God's doing. The Kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God comes forth. And the kingdom of God comes forth right at Palm Sunday. At the time when Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass. And there they received their king on the foal of an ass, Jesus, the great wonderful Jesus. I want to read just a little bit from chapter 7, the book of St. Matthew's. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. I'd like to comment just a little bit on the kingdom of God. So many people misunderstand it. The Bible speaks of people. And it says that these people waited for the kingdom of God. They waited for the kingdom of God. There are people in the world today that are waiting for the kingdom of God. But they don't know what they're waiting for. Jesus told a woman one time, said, salvation is of the Jews. You're worshiping something you don't know what you're worshiping. And it is a true fact that the woman did not understand what she was worshiping. And that salvation is of the Jews. Chapter 7. If you'll notice, it says in chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth a good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, while I exhort you for just a few minutes, I'd love for you to consider that. We hear so much preaching, and we hear so many things, until the Word of God really doesn't have any certain sound to us. So many people read things, and so many people say things, and so many people express their views and their ideas until the Word of God really doesn't ring true to us at all. So then it doesn't hold that special value or the emphasis that should be placed upon it isn't there. So then when we think of this, I want you to think for just a moment now. Let's think for just a moment. The Bible said that if I'm up here talking to you, that it is not me speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within his temple. Now you might dispute that, and you might say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. You're a man just like I'm a man, you know. But I can assure you that if you knew me before I became a preacher, you'd say for sure this was God, it wasn't Brother Pike. And you say for sure, Brother Pike is dead, and it's not I that liveth, but Christ. Because there's a world, nothing less than a world of difference between Brother Pike and Jesus. So then, when I'm up here speaking to you, and when I'm trying to tell you something, I'm trying to express to you the love of God. Though I know that your spirits aren't right many times when I go to express it. Because as I say, if I go to ascend a little bit to raise my voice, I run into a wall. So I know you'll never get anything out of God. But bypassing that and those, I want you to listen for just a minute to what I'm trying to say to you. And that is, look at Jesus. What if Jesus was standing here tonight? What if I was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? And what if it was not me speaking but Jesus? Just in the event that it really was that way. Let's suppose that Jesus is back again and that Jesus is saying something to the people. Let's just stop and think. And we know for sure that this is his word. So whether I repeat the word to you, or whether the Holy Spirit, that is Christ, the Spirit living in another body or living in another form says it to you, whatever it might be, it's still God's word. He said it one day. He said it to people. And he said, what I say to one, I say to all. So then here he is saying something. Think now. The God of heaven, the God of all creation, the God that made you and the God that made me, the God that put us into the world. Here we are. Here he is. Here he's speaking to the people. In that the Bible said they all shall be taught of God. So then the body of the Lord in the earth, the membership of the body of Christ in the earth, thus God within his temple teaching all. Let all the world keep silence, for God is in his temple. John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. So then here we are, listen at these words, and let's weigh these words, and let's evaluate the words, and let's evaluate our own personal being, our own way of life, our own way of thinking, and our own way of doing things. Let's just stop for a moment. The Bible says here, Jesus speaking to the people. Now let Jesus speak to you for just a minute. Jesus said, I want to say something to you. He said, and he that heareth my words, I will show you unto whom he is like. He is like a wise man that dug deep into the earth and built himself a house and laid the foundation upon a rock. Now I say to you again, I liken you that hear what I'm saying, you individually, I'm speaking to you, not to the audience, not to the congregation, but you as an individual, I'm speaking to you, I liken you unto a wise man, if you'll dig down deep. I liken you unto a wise person if you'll dig down deep and if you'll lay your house upon a rock. If you'll do these things, I liken you to a wise man. Or that is, if you hear my words, the words that I'm talking to you about, the words of righteousness and the words of eternal life, if you will hear my words, receive my words, if you will take what I'm telling you and incorporate it in your life, I want you to know that I liken you to a wise man that dug down deep and laid the foundation of his house on a rock. And when the winds blow and when the storms come, your house is going to keep standing. But then he turned and he said to the people, he said, I'm speaking to you, you foolish man, you that hear the preacher, you that hear the words of God, you that hear what the Spirit is saying, you that hear this word over and over, foolish man, he said, You that hear what God is saying, what the Spirit is saying, what Christ is saying, foolish man, you that hear it, you that won't obey my voice, and you that won't do the things that I, Almighty God, speak unto you. Oh, foolish man, to think that God out of heaven speaks to you, and you're so foolish that you take up your time waiting for your day and waiting to make a change and waiting to make your plans and to do what you want to and to fulfill your desires and to go your way and to be what you want to until the day that you take a good notion to do what you think would be the right thing. Oh, foolish man, you hear me? Jesus said directly to that man, you foolish man that's listening to me as I speak. And I liken you unto the foolish man. Though you heard the word, you paid no attention to it. Though you heard what I said, you didn't esteem my word, and you didn't evaluate properly, and you didn't take that as the word of the Almighty God that made the heaven and the earth and the stars and all things therein. Oh, foolish man, he said. How foolish thou art, O man, he said, to hear me speak and to hear my words and to hear what I say and to know my desire and to know my pleasure, O foolish man. O foolish man, he said, I, God, that can destroy you and take your breath out of your nostrils and destroy your babies and destroy your wife and destroy your land and destroy your world. I'm God, he said. O foolish man, thou art. To hear God speak and not honor God and not fear at God's word and not shake and tremble at God's word. But somebody said, but Brother Pike, it's not God, it's the preacher. I beg your pardon, it's not the preacher, it's God. So then, oh foolish man, he said, you hear this with your ear, but it doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't ring true to you. You don't evaluate proper. You don't place any emphasis on what's being said, oh foolish man. You use your own reasoning. You use your own thinking. You do what you want to. You think the way that you want to. You make your own plans, your programs. Oh foolish man, that will not hear God Almighty when God says do something. Oh foolish man, he said, I liken you unto the foolish man that didn't have enough reasoning, didn't have enough understanding, didn't have enough real understanding to get out and to build a house, digging down deep and laying it on a foundation. Oh, foolish man, you just set it out on the sand. You built your foundation on the sand like an ostrich, a foolish thing that hides their head in the sand and feels that everything is all right. You got out and you built on the sand. How foolish thou art. Somebody that would build a building on sand would be a foolish person. A very foolish person. And he said, O foolish man that hath built thine house upon the sand, know ye not that when the winds blow and when the floods come and when the rains descend from heaven that that house isn't going to stand? O foolish man, he said, this is what I compare you to. You that will not hear the words of God, and you that will not change to the ways of God, and you that will not incorporate the word of God in your life, and you that will not go through that transitional change of becoming like Christ to conform to his desire. Oh, foolish man thou art. How foolish you are. How could a man be more foolish? So then he said, I liken you that hear my words unto a wise man. You, wise man, you that hear my words, you that regard God, you that know that this is God speaking to you, and you know, you that know this is the word of God, and you that understand, he said, you are a wise man to accept what I say. You are a very wise person to listen to what I have to say. You're considered a very wise person when you realize this is God, and that what God says he does, and what God wants he has, and that whatever God determines, that's the way it'll be. Oh, wise man, he said, thou art wise because you have incorporated the word of God and his desire in your life to make your life conform to my ways. Wise man, he said, thou art a wise man. And you've dug down till you've struck a solid foundation. And you've struck a rock. And you've built your house upon the rock. And though the winds may come, and though the floods may come, and though the storms may beat vehemently upon your house, God said, O wise man, when the storms are gone and when the floods are over, O wise man, he said,
thou shalt still be saved. For thine house shall still be standing. Thine house shall still be strong and sturdy. And thine house shall still be upon the rock. When all of the turbulence of life is ended, you will still have a place of safety. You will still be saved because thou art a wise man. You know, can you just consider Jesus walking along the shores of Galilee? And Jesus should come up to you as an individual. And Jesus should look at you and say, thou art a wise man for listening to me and listening to my desire. Or should he come up to you and say, oh, thou foolish man that will not listen to me and what I have to say. Oh, thou foolish man that will not hear my words. For what I say unto one, I say unto all. Oh, thou foolish man that will not understand and not follow my word and practice my ways. Can you understand what I'm saying, folks? The world out there, millions of people, professors and millionaires and great philosophers and doctors and dentists and educators and all kind of people, they are foolish people in their minds, in their hearts, in their way of life. They feel that they've got the answer, and they feel that they know, and they feel that they understand. And they're out there magnifying their brilliance and magnifying themselves. And the great God of heaven is saying, oh, thou foolish man. Oh, thou foolish man that will not hear the words of the Almighty God. Thou foolish man that would replace security with what you feel to be security. Money, dollars, gold, and silver. Oh, foolish man, he said, I am God. I've spoken a word. I've sent forth my word into the earth. I've given my commandment. I've given my desire. And oh, foolish man thou art, know ye not that thine own life is within my hands, and that I can call the breath of life out of you whensoever I will? As the Bible said concerning the rich man, when he said, I don't know what I can do with all of my goods, I'll build me greater barns, and I'll have more goods. God said, oh, thou foolish man, oh, thou man that are a fool. He said, for this very night I'm going to require your soul of you, and then who shall these riches be? This very night, he said, I'll take your soul away from you. I'll take your life away from you. Then whose business is your business going to be? I preached this concerning Solomon this morning. All is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the spirit. When God comes and God takes away your life, then what will you have? When God comes and God takes away from your life, who will all of these goods belong to? Where will be your life and what will be your answer when you stand before God? Oh, foolish man. But you say, but I'm young, Brother Pike. I've got many years. Oh, foolish man. The young die as well as the old. The young die as well as the old. Oh, foolish man. Oh, foolish woman. To think because you're young that you've got more years. Many times the young die and the elderly people continue to live. Many times the youth die suddenly and the old continue to live to great age. Because the youth regard not God and the elders regard God. Many times age will reverence God and youth will lose their life because they will not reverence God. So then, thou art a foolish person when you judge in that way. That is improper evaluation. But when you think about God, to remember God in the time of your youth, whereas the Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth when the reaping days come not, or the evil days of reaping that which you've sown in your wild youth. He said, remember God when you're young and when you're sowing, in the sowing days, so that you can sow for a good harvest and you can reap a good crop. Oh, foolish man, oh, foolish woman. So then he said, I will liken you unto a wise man if you will dig down deep. And he tells him here, he said, this way is a straight way. It is a straight way, not a straight way like you would draw a line. Not a straight way, like you would say, I will go straight to this place. But a straight way, as you would say, a straight jacket, a tight fit. That there's no other way. It's got to be a perfect fit. He said, this is a straight way. He said, and few there's going to be that finds this way. Not everybody that goes to Bethlehem, not everybody that goes to the Methodist Church, not everyone that belongs to the religious side of life, not this great religious body that's throughout the world. He said, this isn't the ones that's going to find it. That's not the ones that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. Not the great religious multitude. But he said, this is a straight way. A straight way, he said. And there's few that's going to be able to enter in at this gate. He said, for straight is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And he said, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many shall enter therein. That's quite a contrast. When you think of this, that there is a straight, narrow way. Straight and narrow is the way. You can't go this way. You can't go this way. You've got to go straight through. Straight and narrow is the way. You've got to go straight down the avenue of God's thoughts and God's word. You've got to go down the straight way to get into the gate. He said you can't turn to the left and you can't turn to the right. And you can't make any plans on the side. Just straight ahead, he said. This is a straight way and a straight gate. He said, but now if you're looking for the other gate, it's broad. It's wide open. It's broad. Most anybody can find it. It's called Broad Street, as we say. It's the broad way. He said, and broad is the gate. Open wide, he said, is the gate that leads to folly and leads to frolic and leads to worldliness and leads to gullibleness and leads to lust and leads to all of the things of this world. Broad is the way, he said. If you want to go that way, broad is the way. A lot of times we say, but Brother Pike, what about these great revivals that's sweeping through the land? What about these great miraculous healings that's taking place? What about the great tents and the cathedrals and the thousands that's jamming into the auditoriums? What about this, Brother Pike? All of this great religious move in the earth. Isn't that God? Sure, it's God. It's God. What is it? What is it? Isn't that God? Isn't God moving by Spirit? Isn't all of this prosperity God? Isn't all of this healing God? These men are preaching prosperity, and these men that are preaching healing. Isn't that God? That's God. That's God. God is prosperity. God is healing. God is blessings. God is good. I read it to you here in the scripture, where the Bible teaches that God's thoughts are good to you. And God wants to give you the desires of your heart. All of that's God. But are those people children of God? No. All of those people that are getting the prosperity. Brother Pike, isn't that the children of God? God's blessing His children with great prosperity. And God's blessing His children with health and healing. Isn't that God? Isn't the great multitude that God is sweeping in through the gates? And those that God's receiving, isn't that God's children? Not at all. That's not God's children at all. Not at all. That is those that are going to destruction. That are those that fall, that following the broad way. That is those that's getting the benefits of heaven and giving nothing in return. Those are the ones that God has given grace to, and God is giving His blessings to in this world. And they're under the grace of God, and they're under the blood covering of Christ. And God is showing them His love, and showing them His mercy, and giving them healing, and prosperity, and blessings in this life. God's giving it to them. Why is God giving it to them? So that in the day of the judgment they can be condemned. So in the day of judgment they will not have any blessings. So that in the day of judgment they can be cut off. Why do you say that? Because God is a good God, and His goodness leadeth us to repentance. And God is using all of that goodness to lead people to repentance. He's pouring out His blessings on the just and on the unjust. He's sending His rain down on the just and on the unjust. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of people around the world are receiving the blessings of God's goodness and of God's healing and God's prosperity, but they're still living wickedly. They're still doing wickedly. And the world has gotten into a rut supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away. Said, for you brought nothing into this world, and it's for sure you're going to take nothing out of this world. So then, is there anybody at all among those people that love Jesus? There are people among those people that love Jesus. There are some people among them that love the Lord. There are some that's receiving healing, that those are the sons and daughters of God, and they are receiving something from God. But in general, the congregation is wicked. In general, the congregation is worldly. In general, the congregation are those that make up the congregation of the dead. You'll find in most of those meetings hundreds and thousands of religious people that one day they go to church, the next day they go to the ball games. You'll find churches that back up those divine healing ministries. Those churches are just as religious as they can be, but in their churches they've got their own sport activities in it, which is an abomination in the sight of God. And so then they make up the congregation of the dead. And they're not the children of God. They're not the congregation of the righteous. Then where is the congregation of the righteous? It's the little flock. It's not the big, big gatherings. It's not those that are going through the broad gate of destruction. Those people go in and they're healed. Those people go in and they're fed. Those people go in and they're blessed in the natural, and they're blessed with prosperity. But they go in with their mini skirts, and they go in with their ripped down clothing and their tight form-fitting clothing. And they get out and they deck out in bathing suits and run up and down the beaches in the lust of the flesh. They get out at ball games and show their ignorance in the sense of hollering in the carnal mind that's contrary to God, puts on a display for everybody to see their ignorance. Those are not the children of God. Those are not the things of God. But yet the rain coming on the just and the unjust, God is pouring out of His Spirit upon them. Children of God are those that travail. Children of God are those that fast. Children of God are those that submit themselves and conform to the word and way of God. Children of God are those that cleanse and purge their minds. Children of God are they that want to think holy and talk holy and be pure and be upright all the days of their life. And all during the day, they want to be holy and they want to be godly. These are children of God. Those others are not children of God. So then we see the rain on the just and on the unjust. We see God dividing. Who are they that have the kingdom of God? Who are they that are born to the kingdom of God and born to the Spirit of God? It's the little flock. It's the ones that go through the straight gate. It's the ones that go through the narrow passage. It's not those that go to church and those that follow the divine deliverance ministries and those that gather together in great bunches and in great gatherings. It's not those people. But it is those that come together as the little flock. The little flock that tries to be holy. And the little flock that tries to be clean. And the little flock that begs God for His will day after day. That's sacrificing and denying themselves to do something for God after the manner of Christ. This is the flock that God speaks of. This is the people that have the kingdom of God. That's the little flock that walks the straight and the narrow way. Those are the people that God's coming back after. He's not coming back after the others. He isn't coming back to gather the other people. They will not be in the bride of Christ. The Bible said, and when God comes again to gather His people, they shall be as trees that are so few that even a child shall be able to number them. And so then God, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah there were many hundreds and thousands of people that gathered. But the little flock went in and the door was closed. The little flock went in and the door was closed. And so it is today. The gathering has come and hundreds and millions of people are gathering around the religious ark of God. And hundreds and thousands and millions of people are gathering together around the ark, and they're all there to see the sight, and they're all there excited, and all of them a part of that great commotion that is about the ark. But only the little flock will step out of the midst of them. Only Noah's family. The Bible said, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And only those that belong to the family of Noah step forth from the great congregation. And only the little few that was in the family of Noah was likened unto the wise man that had built his house upon a rock. Only Noah and his family had listened to the word of God and heard the word of God and built the ark to the saving of their souls. Only Noah had found grace in the eyes of God and had commanded his household after him as did Joshua and instructed them to honor God because there was coming a great calamity upon the earth. And so then only Noah's family entered in and the door was shut and all of the rest was shut out. As it was at the midnight cry, when the Bible said there arose a great midnight cry, and somebody screamed out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise up and trim your lamps. Get ready to go out to meet him. For this is that great hour of darkness, and this is the time of the resurrection, and this is the time of the trimming of the lamps." And all that had all in their vessel, the little flock, all that had all in their vessels, even the little flock, gathered together and went straight out to meet God because they were prepared to meet God. Let me tell you something, folks. Many of the others wasn't prepared to meet God. Somebody, when they were invited to the supper, they said, "I'm busy at the moment. I can come later. But I've married a wife." And another said, "I bought some land." And another said, "I bought a yoke of oxen." See, some people have bought a house and some people are busy paying on their properties and some are busy paying on their automobiles, and some is busy putting a little money in the bank, and some is busy doing the things that they've got to do. They're busy with their businesses, and they've got to get caught up because they're running behind, and they don't have time to lay that aside. They're busy with the things that they're doing all over the nation and all over the world. So busy are they that they can't take time to be holy. And so then they don't go about God's business, and they don't carry on God's business. And they go on doing the things that they want to do because they're very busy. They can't do anything that God asks them to do. They can't stop long enough to do what God wants them to do. And so then God says, "Martha, Martha, you're too busy. Martha, you're too busy. You've got too many things to do." Mary's the one that had her lamp ready. Mary's the one that had the oil. Mary is the one that is taking in the things that I say. "Fear not, little flock," he said. The world is too busy to stop with the people of God. The world is too busy to take time from their great money-making machines and their great money-making ways of life. The world is too busy to take time to be holy. You know, it's like somebody was telling me today, the man Mohan that was on the radio program up yonder that interviewed us at WSB. They said that he was so tore up today over some things that was being said. Said he told the audience, he said, "I'll tell you what," said, "I'm going home and pray." Said, "I ain't done this in a long time." Said, "But tonight," said, "I'm going home and pray. I'm going home and pray." Said, "Because I'm about scared to death over this thing, the way everything is happening, to think that there's things happening that we don't know nothing about. And these things are happening under covers that is about to scare me to death." Said, "I'm going home and pray." See, people are beginning to get shook up. That man that was an infidel seemingly, that didn't believe in nothing, is about to get shook up. He's getting tore up. You know, and while they're getting tore up, what are you doing? Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, what do you mean?" I mean the foolish virgins are beginning to be stirred now. The foolish virgins are beginning to run for the oil now. And the foolish virgins are beginning to look for a way out now. They're beginning to ask God to do something. And they're beginning to look to God. They find the president can't do it. They see the president's been turned down. They see the ecclesiastical control of the government and of their congressmen. And they see that they themselves are not able to do it. Remember? You vote the president in. The president is your voice. Remember that? It is the voice of the people that put the president in. It is their desire that he be the president. It is their desire that he speak for them. But the president cannot speak for the people anymore, for they pay no attention to the president. The president is a prisoner of circumstances, and the president is just like everybody else. He can't be the voice of the people anymore, irregardless to what the people want. The president can do nothing, and Congress does what they want to. So then you can see by this that the world is in a terrible condition. You can see by this that the foolish virgins are beginning to rise up. They're beginning to look for the oil, but they can't find this oil because there is no oil. The oil is in the vessels of those that are sealed away. God has put the oil in the vessels of those that are sealed away. Have you noticed how many different places in the world today that they're drilling for oil? Everywhere they're drilling for oil. They're looking for oil. Why? Because all of a sudden there came an oil shortage. But at that time there were some that had oil. While others could not find oil, some had oil. And so there's a great oil shortage in the world today to that extent. And people are looking for oil, and people are drilling for oil. What is it? It's that midnight cry. It's that midnight cry. The church is sealed in, and the virgins that have oil are sealed in. And the foolish virgins are waking up to that. And they're beginning to look for the oil. You know, we get the foolish idea that all of the virgins are waiting for the midnight cry. We get the understanding that all of the virgins are waiting for the midnight cry so that they can get the oil. And that all of the virgins are waiting for the midnight cry so they can be partakers in the kingdom of God. Waiting for the midnight cry so that they can rise up and they can be a part of God's plan. But has it ever occurred to you that those virgins had the oil? Even before they rose up, they had the oil. They had the oil while they were asleep. They had already been sealed in. They were already safe. They didn't have to wait for a midnight cry. They did not have to wait for a certain time to arouse or to wake. They already had the oil. Whether asleep or whether awake, they had the oil. Whether they were asleep or whether they were awake, they still had the oil within their vessels. They were already safe. Even being asleep, they were already safe. But see, the awakening at the midnight cry and the calling of the bridegroom only brought those that were without the oil to the acknowledgement that they had been foolish. Oh, foolish man, Jesus said, foolish thou art. But the midnight cry was for one purpose, and that is to make the separation and make the dividing and to arouse the wise virgins so that they could get up, light their lamps, and go into the place of safety while the entire world went into darkness. While the entire world went into darkness. But did you notice before the midnight cry that all of those virgins were together? Did you know that tonight here at Little Bethlehem, a lot of people are together? Did you know that tonight at all of the places around the world where they're worshiping tonight, that all of them are together? All of them, wise and foolish alike, all of them are together. All of them are religious. All of them are having a good time religiously, and the rain is coming on the just and on the unjust, and the water's coming on the tare and on the wheat. And across the world today, all of them are together. They are together having their religious programs, and they're together having their religious get-togethers. But did you know that part of them are foolish and part of them are wise? Jesus said, "Oh, foolish man, oh, thou art a wise man," he said. And the foolish and the wise were together. And the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, the sons of Lucifer came also. When the daughters of God came together to worship God, the daughters of Lucifer came also. And tonight, here in this gathering, and wherever in the world tonight, there are people gathered together. Then that means that there are the wise and there are the foolish. There are the sons of God and there are the sons of Satan. There are the daughters of God and there are the daughters of Satan. And wherever in the world tonight they come together, these are there. And the Bible said when the great cry comes, that there shall be two in the bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. And there shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken and one shall be left. There shall be two at the meal, and one shall be taken and one shall be left. Therefore, it is obvious that the foolish virgins will be left in the darkness of their own intellectual world and in their own intellectual reasoning and will not have any light to find their way. But it is obvious that those that belong to the world of light and those that are the wise virgins will rise up and trim their lamps, and they will go into the wonderful presence of the world of light and into the great ark of God. So then, fear not, little flock. The Bible said it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. If you don't have the kingdom of God within you tonight, you need the kingdom. If you don't have the kingdom of God within you tonight, you need to be born again. Somebody would say, well, what is the kingdom of God, Brother Pike? The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. The fullness of God is in Christ's Spirit. The fullness of God is the Holy Ghost within you. The fullness of the kingdom of God in His riches and all of His glory is Christ within you, the hope of glory. Jesus alone being made heir to the glory of God. Jesus alone being made heir to the kingdom of God. Jesus alone being the only one as Noah that found favor in the sight of God. If you don't have Christ's Spirit, you're none of His. If you don't have Christ's Spirit tonight, then you don't belong to God and you don't have the kingdom of God on the inside of you. So tonight, let me invite you to be born again. Let me invite you to take the Spirit of God into your heart. Let me invite you to take the kingdom of God within you. Let me invite you to come into the presence of God and into the kingdom of God and take this kingdom of God within you, that you might have the Spirit of God and that you might have the oil of Christ. Remember, the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. If you've never pressed your way into the kingdom of God, you need to start pressing. You got to press against self. You got to press against ideas. You got to press against self-ambition. You got to press against worldly securities and worldly desires and the things of this world. You got to press against passions and fleshly ego to be able to get into this kingdom and to get into the presence of this great light and to have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. So the kingdom of God tonight is nigh. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God's been preached, and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is present. It's in the world today. And you can have the kingdom of God. But you've got to press your way into the kingdom of God. You've got to press your way against the bodily opposition of that infiltration that Paul spoke of when he said there's no good thing within the flesh. You've got to press against those things that's unlike God. Press against those things that are contrary to the way of the mind of Christ. And have a perseverance against your old carnal desire. Put down self. Do away with passions. Do away with human desire. If you can't do that, you can't have the kingdom of God. If you can't walk the straight, narrow way, if you can't go through the straight gate, you can't have these things of God. There's no way that you can have them. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Tonight, if you can get in the straight way, if you can get in the narrow way, if you can follow the way of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ, then you can walk in this way and have the kingdom of God. So then tonight, let me invite you into the presence of God. And tonight, let me invite you into the kingdom of God. Let me open a door to you as it was with Peter. When Peter opened the doors to the kingdom and said, let the world, all of them that love God, all of them that want to go through this straight, narrow gate, let all of them come in, Peter said. And the first steps of it is to repent of your sins, not just have a good case of do better, or turn over a new leaf, or make a new resolution. Not those kind of things, but to repent of your sins. And then to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then you can come through the gate. For Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the door. And when Peter said, thou art the Christ, Jesus said, I'm the door, Peter. You just opened the door. You saw beyond the door. You saw the innermost Christ. You saw the treasures. You saw that which was hidden on the inside. So this is a revelation. Flesh and blood, by your own eyesight, Peter, you didn't see this. Flesh and blood didn't bring this to your intellect. He said that was a revelation. You seen beyond the veil and you saw the Christ. And you saw this treasure. You saw the kingdom of God. And he said, Peter, you've opened the door. You've opened the door. Therefore, you have the key or you could not have opened the door. Therefore, having opened the door, I'll let you do this down to the Gentile people. I'll let you do this for the Jews. So he went down to Cornelius' house and opened the door. He opened the door to the Jews, and thus the door to the kingdom of God came open. And Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Said, for it's unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so then tonight the kingdom of God is open to you, and the way of the Lord is open to you, and you have a chance to come in. You have the understanding of God. You have the opportunity of God. Though you're not very spiritual, because there's not very many of you that hear my voice that belong to the kingdom of God. There's not very many of you. It's only a little flock. But I speak tonight to the little flock. To the little flock, the door is open. To the little flock, though the gate be straight and the narrow way is open to you, yet you can enter in by the blood of Jesus and by the righteousness of Jesus. Little flock, the Bible said. Little flock, not the great world of religion, but the little flock. So then, here we are, and the kingdom of God has come down to mankind, and mankind has opportunity to receive the kingdom. Let me say this and find a place to close my little exhortation tonight. They waited for the kingdom of God. There the Jews were waiting for the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God came. But they missed it, and they did not see it because they were not spiritual. Isn't it so today? Hundreds and millions of religious people with great revivals and whatever. Even as the 70 that worked miracles, and when the kingdom of God came, they missed it. They couldn't see it. They missed it. When he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh, thus came the revelation, and they could not see it. They could not understand because it was not given to them to know the mysteries. And so then, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is present. This great treasure, this great world, this great exchange that I spoke to the brethren about tonight as I spoke to them in Revelation just before we came into the church. For about an hour or more, I guess, we spoke about Revelation and spoke about this great kingdom and what it was and how it's to be received and the way that it's to come into the children of God's heart. So then here we are tonight. The kingdom of God is present, but do you have the kingdom of God within you? Do you have the kingdom of God within you? I say again, if you have not Christ, His Spirit, you're none of His, because God's kingdom is the Spirit of Christ. God's kingdom is the Spirit of Christ. You love the Lord? God is so good. God is doing something good. And God wants to help you. God wants to lead you. But God can never help you if you don't try to help yourself. God can never help you if you've got your mind on what you're doing in the world, and if you've got your mind on the things of the world. As long as mothers desire to use their babies as an excuse to get out of here and stay till I get through preaching and come back, they'll never have the kingdom of God. And as long as men use children and whatever for excuses to stay away from hearing the word of God, they'll never have the kingdom of God. And as long as you work gimmicks and do your own thing and try to be shrewd in the things of the world, to be crafty and bypass God and God's way, you'll only bring the wrath of God on you in your ignorance and in your wrongs and in your evil doings and your cunning craftiness. But if you're willing to come to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to do the things you're doing, which is giving the sacrifice of fools, if you're willing to come to the house of God and sit on the benches and not be vomit on God's benches, where the Bible said all of my tables are filled with vomit, that is not to be vomit on God's table, not to be lukewarm so that God will spew you out of His mouth by standing at the door, not coming in, you are lukewarm. By standing at the door, not coming in, you hinder everybody else and you reproach everything that God's doing and everything that God's people are doing, and thus you are vomit on God's tables. And all of God's tables throughout the world are filled with vomit because it's a bunch of lukewarm people. And it's the Laodicean lukewarm age of the Laodiceans that God calls vomit. But in the midst of all of that, God has a little flock. In the midst of all of that, God has somebody that He's going to give the kingdom to. And in the midst of all of that vomit that God calls it, there is somebody that belongs to God. As long as you're thinking intellectually, as long as you're thinking religiously, as long as you're thinking in the terms of education or whatever, That intellect is vomit to God. All of your thoughts are vomit to God. All of that you think and all of that you do in the world with your sport activities and with your programs and with your social benefits is vomit in the sight of God. And every person that's caught in those things of society, they're vomit in the sight of God. And all of the tables of God are filled with vomit. You know, wherever there's a church tonight, it's the table of God. No matter what the religion is, no matter whatever it might be, the church was built for the purpose of God. And the vomit got in the way. And the vomit got on the tables. And God spewed it all out of his mouth. And all of the tables are filled with vomit. So then tonight, little flock, you're not partakers of the vomit. And those that are of the kingdom of God are not vomit. And those that are born of God are sons and daughters of God. And they are not part of the vomit, neither has God spewed them out of his mouth. And God will always cherish and keep them. And the Bible said, lead them to fountains of living water and wipe all the tears from their eyes. And they'll never hunger and they'll never thirst. And that God has prepared a place for them and God will come back and receive them unto his own. That where God is, that they might also be in the same world with him. And so then tonight, though the tables be filled with vomit, yet there are those that are the little flock that go through the straight gate, that walk the narrow way, that have on the garments of the living God. So tonight as we finish the exhortation here, I want you to stop and think. What are you doing? Are you religious? Do you belong to the church? Do you come to Bethlehem? Do you go to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the social benefits? Are you part of the societies of the world? Whether rich or poor, educated, are you then vomit? Or are you part of the little flock? You say, vomit, that which God spews out of his mouth. That which is lukewarm, that which is religious. Would that you were hot or cold, but that is religious, God has spewed it out of his mouth. You know, I say this again, as long as the world was cold, and as long as people were out in sin, God gave grace and the blood remained on the mercy seat. But beloved friend, just as quick as the whole world got religious, God spewed them out of his mouth and all of his tables were filled with vomit. So then the lukewarm Laodicean age that we're living in is the vomit age. And all of the vomit is on God's table. And all of God's table are filled with vomit. So then the little flock is about ready to get out of the house of vomit and be about ready to be caught up with God and go to a new place and leave the house and the vomit with the people. Let's stand together. Seems like just a little bit of preaching with this weather changing about. That's all it takes to be hoarse, get your throat all messed up. But anyway, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to lift up my voice and scream out the word of God to the best of my ability and tell you about this wonderful little flock that God speaks of that's making up his kingdom. This wonderful little flock that has this wonderful word of God and this wonderful knowledge of God, and to tell you about the wise man that Jesus spoke of. The wise man that Jesus spoke of. Friend, every time you pass a mirror, if you don't accept the word of God and if you're not converted to Christ after hearing the word of God, every time you pass a mirror, you should look in the mirror and say hello to the fool. Every time you pass a mirror, you should look in the mirror and say hello to the fool. For Jesus said he was a fool. And every time you pass a mirror, you should be reminded of the fool that you are, because you did not listen to the word of the great God of heaven and of earth. If you follow God's word, every time you pass a mirror, you should look in there and say, praise God for the wise man. Praise God for the wise man. Because God has likened you to the wise man. If you love him and if you honor him, every time you women look at your husband and that your husband won't serve God, look at him and think, I married a fool, I married a fool, I married a fool, because that's what he is. And every time he looks at you and you won't serve God, let him look at you and realize he married a fool, and let him be reminded that he's married to a fool. For all the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, why do you preach like that? I don't like that kind of preaching, somebody said. That's the only kind of preaching there is. That's real preaching. When you look at her and she looks at you, and when you look into the mirror together, if you won't accept God's word, you can say, good morning, Miss and Mistress Fool. Because that's what you are when you reject God's word. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, do you mean what you say? I mean every word of it. A man that will reject God's word, and having heard God's word and knowing that God is God and that God has said these things, he could be nothing less than a fool, and she could be nothing less than a fool. So then Jesus said, you see that I liken you unto a fool because you do not hear my words and you do not honor me. And I liken you unto a wise man when you hear my word. If you're married to a woman and she tries to serve God, don't you hinder. Don't you hinder. If you don't want to serve God, just say, I'm not going to let this fool hinder a wise woman. And if your husband is serving God, and if you gullibly go after the things of the world, you look at him and say, I won't let this fool hinder a wise man. So if you are wise, then you will hear God's word and you will dig down deep. You won't keep on running to and fro in the world, doing the things of the world until the dart strikes through the liver. The Bible said, and you can warn a fool, but it won't do any good. He'll continue on till the dart strikes through the liver. He'll outreason you. He's got reasons why what you say isn't right. And he'll continue on till the dart strikes through the liver, and then it's too late for him to do anything. But you can warn a wise man and he'll listen and he'll be wiser and he'll make his life to conform to the warning. So then tonight, as your pastor, tonight as a preacher, tonight as an individual that loves you and cares for you, Paul said that uses great plainness of speech, and though we be offensive in word, we are not in knowledge. Though we might be offensive in word, though we might be ignorant to your understanding in the things that we say, we're not ignorant in the knowledge of God and to God. So then, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. And tonight, though our speech may sound very rude, I say unto you that if you reject God, you are a fool. And if you reject God and won't go God's way, you are a fool and the greatest kind of a fool. So then tonight, if you want to keep from being a fool, then repent of your sins and call on God before the dart strikes through your liver. Stop and think and turn around before they read your obituary. Just remember that if you don't turn around, as it has been with a number of the young fellows that's been here and the other people alike, it won't be long and you'll be in a grave. For God hath no pleasure in fools. The Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Jesus said, ye fools and blind, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And the Bible said, God hath no pleasure in fools. And he likens a man to be a fool, or to a fool that will not heed the word of God and conform to the word of God and clean the trash out of his life and get rid of his old gossiping tongue and his old backbiting way and his old division-causing way of life. You know, people cause divisions. They've got an old evil way of life that just causes division. I preached on it this morning. Backbiters and gossipers and gullible people that are filled with lust, that interrupt homes, that ruin and wreck the societies of life. People who reason in their minds and outreason the Word of God and try to make the Word of God conform to their wicked, wretched ways instead of denying their wicked, wretched ways and making their ways conform to God. O thou fool, Jesus said. O thou fool, whose shall all of these things be when they're taken from you? Well, thou hast said in thine heart that you'll be all right and that you'll make it and that everything's going to work out for you and that you're young and you've got more years. And besides that, God favors you. He thinks too much of you to let anything happen to you. And that you want to make a little more money and you need a little more time to sow your wild oats. Everybody has to sow their wild oats, somebody says. They have to have their time just like you had your time. Oh, then you continue to sow your wild oats. You go your way. You go your way and you sow your wild oats. And you go ahead and do your thing in life. But let me tell you something, folks. By the same token that you're given the right to sow your wild oats, you're going to be given the right to gather your wild oats too. In one of these days, your wild oats are coming up. And God's going to send you down the same trail and through the same fields to gather your wild oats. But you that are willing to plant a good harvest and to sow good seed, then the Bible said there'll come a good reaping day. Sow the righteous seeds for the reaping. The Bible said the reaping's coming to each and every one. And then you can rejoice on that day when the Savior, He will say, "Come, ye blessed, a crown ye have won." So then tonight, as the sowing, so is the reaping. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he's going to get that out of his patch one day. Whatsoever he soweth, he's going to reap that same harvest. You're not going to sow one thing and reap another harvest. You that are trusting to luck and trusting, you might as well to throw everything to the wind. He that trusteth to luck might as well to throw everything to the wind, because he isn't going to have anything. You that let the house of God lay waste, trusting to luck, spending your substance and wasting it like the prodigal, trusting to luck, you're not going to have a lucky day. You're not going to have a lucky day. There isn't going to be a lucky day with you. There's going to be a day of reaping, all right, but not a lucky day. You're going to reap the same briars that you've sown. You're going to reap the same wild oats that you've sown. There's numbers of young people that are not with us tonight. You know why? They sowed the wrong kind of seed. And before they were ever 20 years old, some of them, they reaped the seed that they put in the ground. Why is that? Why didn't God let them grow old? Why didn't God give them more time? Because according to the knowledge, God requires it of you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So then your grace extends as to how far. How far does your grace extend? God gives grace until you do something wrong. He gives grace again until you do something wrong. And he gives grace again until you make it a practice of doing wrong. And your grace may extend for 2 years. And it may extend for 3 years, depending on how much you know. Depending on how much God has worked with you. How hard he strived with you to get you to do the right thing. So then your grace, how far does it extend? How far does it reach? It could be giving out tonight. It could be giving out tonight. This might be the last day of your grace. As a matter of fact, I've been greatly disturbed all day long. And I told my wife, I said, "Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong." Somebody would say, "Well, maybe it's wrong with you." There's a good possibility that you're right. Maybe that's why I was troubled over it. The Bible said Jesus was troubled in spirit. Maybe it is wrong with me. Maybe, Brother Pike, that's why you're troubled. But you know, whether that be right or not, I've still been spending my time all night long with God, talking with God just in case. Just in case it is me, I've been spending my nights with God to make sure that just in case it is me, that God will give me a helping hand and that God will try to understand. So then, it could be you. Now, if it's you, have you been spending your time with God just in case it's you? Have you been spending your time with God and asking God to help you and asking God to quicken your words and to quicken your understanding? Have you been doing the same thing? Whatever it is, I still believe that we need to sow the right kind of seeds. Folks, some of you have been with me for a number of years now, and you've never sown good seed. Like somebody told me this morning, he said, "I ain't never done nothing right. I ain't never done nothing right." And now it's turning into a nightmare. So then, have you ever done anything right? Have you ever taken time to help anybody? Have you ever done anything for anybody outside of self? Has all of your motives and plans and ambitions been self-centered? Has all of your ego been just for you and yours? Think back. What have you done? What have you really done for God? Have you really done anything for God? Have you just been eating and sleeping and riding and drinking and telling yourself that you are a Christian? Have you just been having a good time and going to and fro in the world and telling yourself that you are a Christian, you know, and you love the Lord, but you ain't doing nothing for God? You don't do anything for God at night. You don't do anything for God in the daytime. You don't do anything for the church. You don't do anything for anybody else. But you're going to and fro saying, "I'm a Christian. I love the Lord." Folks, it don't work like that. If you are a Christian, if you are a son of God, if you've got the nature of Jesus, you'll be about your Father's business. Jesus Christ is nature the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You'll be about your Father's business for sure if you've got that nature on the inside of you. So then, I ask you this question. What are you doing? What are you doing? Have you done anything for God? Are you doing anything for God? Folks, listen at me as I close tonight. Women, ladies, don't let your husband play the fool and drag you down into a pit. While you sit back and you feed your belly, and that's all you do all day long is feed your belly, don't you get tired of that? Don't you get tired of just buying curtains to hang up in the window, to take down curtains so that you can buy curtains to hang up in the window? Don't you get tired of just getting a living room suit so that you wear that out so that you can buy a living room suit to put in the living room? And don't you get tired of just walking the rug out so that you can buy a rug to put down where the rug was that you wore out? And don't you get tired and don't you feel like you're in a rut when you use this car a while and you just trade it for another car so you'll have another car so you can trade for another car? Don't you feel like that's a rut? And don't you get tired of that? And don't you get tired of just buying one dress so that you can wear that dress so that you can get another dress so that you can wear a dress when you do away with the dress that you're wearing? And you men the same. Don't you know that's a rut? Don't that bother you? Don't you men get tired of getting up on Monday morning so you can jump in your car and run up there and tell your three or four to do this and do that? We've got to make it. We've got to strike it rich this week. We've got to do things. And you know, and then you run off once you get them going and you begin to eat and drink and get bigger and fatter. You know, or run around to the places to get you a milkshake or something and run back over there to make sure that they're working. Don't you get tired of being in that kind of rut? Don't you get tired of going around and around like a dog after his tail? You know, just going around like the old Indian death march and doing the same things over and over. And you find out today that you're 25 years old and a few days later you find out you're 35 years old, as we would say. And a few days later you find out that you're 50 years old. Don't you know that that's a rut? And don't you get tired of doing that? Hurrying off to make a dollar so that you can get that dollar. Bring that dollar home so you can feed your belly, so your belly can get in good shape to go make another dollar that you can bring home to feed your belly, so your belly can go make another dollar, so you can come back and feed your belly. Don't you get tired of that? Just around and around and around. Don't you want to wake up one day and say, "Dear God, help me that I don't wake up today so I can see the television, so I can lay down and rest, so I can get up tomorrow to see the television, so I can lay down and rest, so I can get up tomorrow and see the television"? Wouldn't you like to get away from that old rut and say, "My God, help me. I'm from one cigarette to another. I'm from one dip of snuff to another. I'm from one little mouthful of gossip to another. I'm from one backbiting chat to another. I visit my daughter in the morning, my son in the evening. And we chat and eat cookies and drink coffee. Go down to the shops to hear the jingle jangle of the music so that I can buy me a little tinklet, and then I'm back in the car to ride a while so I can go down to my relatives and visit some more." My, what a rut people get into. They make their daily routines and their daily rounds. Wouldn't you like to get out of that? Wouldn't you like to say, "My God, there must be something more to life than this"? And my years are slipping away, and my time is slipping away, and my days are slipping away. And I'm not laying up any treasures in heaven. Don't you want to lay up some treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt, in that where your treasures are, the Bible said, there will be your heart also. You know, it's a rut. People get up seeking fame, and they spend their whole life seeking fame. And then they get fame so that they can die. And somebody else can use the money that they use to get fame off of, so they can get fame. So they can die, so somebody else can use their money to get fame. That's a rut, isn't it? That's a rut. Wouldn't it be better to feed a widow? To feed an orphan? Wouldn't it be better to share some of that money and some of that food that keeps making you about twice as big as you ought to be? Wouldn't it be better to use a little bit of that to help some widows and some orphans, and use a little bit of your time being busy and moving about so you don't just get bigger and bigger and bigger? Use a little bit of that time or that money feeding somebody and laying up a treasure in heaven that will be eternal? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to spend a little bit of your time for God in prayer to where you can slow down a little bit and gain a pound or two instead of running it all off and walking around, you know, looking about like a skeleton where you just run it all off, just going all the time doing nothing, just continually doing nothing, just running it off. Somebody says, you don't do that, Brother Pike. I know that you do that. I used to do that. I used to get up in the morning so I could walk for miles. And I walked for miles and I was a little skinny fella. And I'd come back home and get everything I could eat so I could get up the next morning and walk for miles so I could be the little skinny fella. A rut. A rut. Don't you get tired of just feeding your wife's belly? It don't ever get enough. If you buy an ice cream today, you got to buy her a milkshake tomorrow. And if you get a milkshake tomorrow, then you got to buy her something else the next day. And don't you women get tired of going around in a circle? You know, just feeding your husband's belly, just feeding his belly all the time. You prepare him a good meal today and he's grumbling because you don't give him his good or better tomorrow. And his belly don't never get enough. Don't you get tired of serving the belly? The Bible said all of your labor's for the belly because the belly craves it of you, and that God put the serpent on his feeding the belly and serving the belly. Has it ever occurred to you folks there's a better thing to do than to serve the belly? Let's do something for God. Let's take our energy. Whether we're educated or ignorant, whether we're big or whether we're small, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we have money or don't have money, let's do something for God. Let's do something for God. Let's get together and do something for God. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I've got to prepare for the future. I've got some children and I've got to see that they get an education, so that they can grow up and raise children, so they can give them an education, that when they die, somebody will grow up and have children, so they can give them an education, so that they can grow up and die, so they can have children and give them an education. Ain't that some more rut? Folks, let's get out of the rut. Let's get out of the old Indian death march. It's good to feed your wife. It's good to feed your children. It's good to provide. You know, the Bible said if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. It's good to love that darling little wife and her to love you and you all to stand together and love them precious little children. But I'll tell you what, if you're just feeding each other's belly, it ain't no good. But when you serve God, the Bible said blessed is the king, a country when the king eats for strength and not somebody to party all the time, just for gluttony. So then let's love our little families and let's dedicate our lives to our little families, to God, and our houses and our home and our substance and all that we have and our intelligence and understanding and appearance and physiques and whatever. Let's dedicate it to God and let's be God's man and God's woman and let it be God's family and God's home. All right. I hope you don't think I'm scolding you tonight. The Bible said exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching, and I see the day approaching. There's one thing about it, I might not be the polished orator and the high exalted scholar that you need or desire, but there's one thing about it. One thing about it, I might be rude in my speech, I might be ignorant to the extent that I'm not a polished speaker, but I told you the truth, and that's the important part. I told you the truth. Though matter how rough it sounds, or the way that I've said it, it might not be through polished ethics, but nevertheless, I've told you the truth. A lot of times a man will sit down at the table and he might not know all the dainty ways of eating that a king does, but nevertheless, he eats it. That's the main thing, he eats it. So then let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest. and we'll sail a wild sea no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Is there really a judgment, Brother Pike? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. Yes, there is. Is there really a God that's going to sit on a throne and he's going to come forth and we're going to be standing before him like we are you tonight, Brother Pike? Yes, there is. There surely is. And does he really give eternal life to them that love him and honor him? Oh, Brother Pike, somebody would say, eternal life, to never have to worry no more about sickness, sorrows and heartaches and problems and woes. Can that be? Well, is that possible? Can a human being really have that kind of enjoyment eternally? Yes. Yes, it's true. It really genuinely is true. Then who will get this, Brother Pike? The little flock? The little flock. Who will get this great kingdom of heavenly treasure and earthen vessels? The little flock. The little flock, they that are willing to conform and walk through the straight and narrow gate. Is it true? Is it true? Can we really have this peace and rest and the blessings and protections of God in this life? Is there such a thing? Yes, it's true. Have you told us the truth? Have you told us exactly the truth, the way to be, the way to conform? What we have to be, the way that we have to adjust our lives? The things that we have to conform to? Yes, I've told you. I've told you the truth. I've told you from my heart the truth. Will this actually bring us to it? Yes, it will. And if you could listen, and if you could hunger, and if you could thirst to where I wouldn't have to drive and try to drive this home to you, and you was nursing from the breast of El Shaddai to where the milk would freely flow, you would really get something. But nevertheless, whether you ever get that or not, you're getting enough to show you the way. You're getting enough to show you the way. So then tonight I want you to bow your heads with me. While you've got your heads bowed, I want you to examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing in the Word. See if your conviction of believing tonight is in the Word. Are you believing in the Word tonight? Is your faith in the Word tonight? Beloved friend, if your faith is not in the Word tonight, then you're not believing. That's not faith. That's mere human believing that has nothing to do with faith. If you believe, the devil believes, but that's not faith. But believing in the Word is faith. In the last days, some shall not believe in the Word. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing believing, believing in doctrines of devils and ideas, and believing in feelings and believing in what people say. That won't do the job. That won't do the job right there. Tonight, while they're playing on the organ, the piano, I want you to come down for a minute. I didn't ask you to come to the altar this morning, but just so I can pray a prayer over you this Palm Sunday, so that I can just pray a prayer over you tonight, May it be in your heart and in your life the triumph entry of Jesus into your heart, beloved friend. May it be the triumph entry of Christ into your heart tonight, as it was when he rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, fulfilling the days of Daniel and bringing to a close the years of prophecy that Daniel spoke of and the angel spoke of, bringing to a close the age, even Daniel's last week. So then tonight, as you come down, stop for just a minute and say, Lord, could this be my last night? Oh no, somebody said, not me. No, I'm not that old, Brother Pike. But just ask God anyway, just in the event that it is. Say, God, is this the last night? Is this the last night? The triumph entry of Jesus on the Palm Sunday. The book that I gave last night that we pulled out of the safe that's been there for so long. A book that Sister Betty spent many weary days typing, writing. A book called The Kingdom of God. Stop, you know, and ask yourself the question, Lord, is there something happening? As the man at WSB said, to think that all of these things could be happening unbeknownst to me or to us. How horrible, he said. This scares me to death almost, he said. I think I'll go home and pray. Can you imagine a man like that talking about going home and praying? Just a few days ago, he didn't believe in God. A few days ago, he mocked religion. He mocked preachers. Can you imagine a man like that saying, I'm going home and pray? Folks, listen. If a man like that thinks he needs to go home and pray, what's happening? Where are we standing as saints of God? How many of you have took the outlook that you need to go home and pray? I dare say that I couldn't find 10 out of the audience, if I really pinned you down, let's even pray today. If I ask who prayed today, actually went somewhere and got on their knees and talked to God today, I doubt seriously if I could find 10 out of the whole audience. Tonight, if I followed up tomorrow, unless I exhort you to stir you to do so, tomorrow, had I followed it up, I perhaps have been fortunate to find 10 that would even go to God tonight on their knees and pray. I want to go to heaven, don't you? I want to be part of the kingdom of God, don't you? I don't want to be left here in this world. The Bible said pray always. That's often, isn't it? Pray always. Why should I pray always? The Bible said that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. What kind of things is coming on the earth? John said, I looked and saw the nations crumble to the ground. I saw the great skyscrapers crumble. The earth was ravished. And everything crumbled. The earthquake struck. And even the great city of Jerusalem fell. Her great walls fell. I don't want to be left here. I don't want to be left here. Pray that you might be counted worthy to escape those things. Somebody said, well, you're going through the tribulation, Brother Pike. You might as well get prepared. You're going to have to put up with them things. Well, I wonder why the Lord said, pray that you might escape them. If there's no way to escape them, seems to me like it's a waste of time for him to tell me to pray that I might escape it. He told me to pray that I might be counted worthy to escape it. So obviously there are some people that he's going to count worthy that's going to be able to escape those things. Wouldn't you like to escape those things? Or had you rather be here and go through the pain and the misery and the heartaches and the sorrows and the woes? While you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed and while you're examining your hearts, I want you to again ask yourself the question. Am I in the faith? You know, folks, you're my children. Not all of you. Jesus said, not all of you are my sheep because you don't hear my voice. But my sheep know my voice, and you're my children. And one day, I'll have to stand before God, and I'll have to present you to God. And Paul said, I seek to present you there without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I seek to present you holy unto God. And I'll have to give an account to God someday. Someday I will have to do it. So then, not only my children that are here, but my children that hear my voice forever throughout the world, I will have to present them to God. And Jesus said, all of them that the Father has given me, I will bring with me. And none is lost except the son of perdition. None. So then, let's pray. Let's believe God. Let's humble our spirits. I want you to be whole. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be clean. I want you to be upright. You know, if Jesus should call one of you, I'd love to be able, if I have to pass by your casket, I'd love to pass by your casket, and I'd love to look down and say, God, I'm so grateful that person is saved. That person is eternal secure now. They don't have any more worries. They've made that great, wonderful crossing, and they have their eternal securities now, and they're forever at peace and rest with their great, wonderful, wonderful world of light and treasures. I wouldn't want to walk by the casket and look down and say, my God, that soul is burning in the flames of hell. Oh my God, while I look at this body laying here, that soul is screaming in the flames of hell. I wouldn't want to do that, folks. God is a spirit. Make sure that your spirit is in tune with His spirit. Make sure that your spirit leaves the gossiping spirit of evil and the backbiting spirit and the evil surmising spirit and the fault-finding spirit and the accusing spirit and the degrading spirit and the reproaching spirit and the gullible spirit of human desire and the spirit that tires at you in passions and for money and for prestige and for education. Be sure to get rid of those spirits. And let your spirit be one with the loving Holy Spirit to be pure and lovely, clean and godly. For the Father of spirits seeketh such in spirit to worship Him. If your spirit worships Him, if your spirit submits to Him, if your spirit is altogether surrendered to Him, then are ye in good circumstance tonight. But otherwise, you are in wretched circumstance. The Laodicean church age, the last age, folks, is a lukewarm Laodicean age that God will have nothing to do with. So then while you've got your heads bowed, while you're calling on God, I'm going to ask Rick Banks to come up here tonight, if he will. Rick, the name Rick has a number of meanings, but one of them is King of All. One day the King of all will stand before us. And this is a good time to reckon that in types, in that this is Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, triumphantly the King of all rode in. The King of all rode in. And tonight as Rick comes, I want you to consider it. As he prays with you, I want you to consider it. We're starting another week. Let's ask God to make us different people from this night on. Let's ask God to forgive our sins. I'm so grateful to see Vernon standing here tonight before God. And in his heart, I know he's calling on the Lord. And I'm glad to have Dale here tonight. I appreciate having Dale here tonight. He came in after we started ministering. I was glad to have Sister Anna's daughter is here this morning. And also our sister that comes with Brother Vince. Her and her daughter comes down pretty regularly. We're glad to have them here with us tonight. We're always glad to have you come and be with us. Tomorrow, Some are leaving for Mexico to take thousands of dollars worth of clothes. And they've asked for our prayers. It's going to be a long journey, days of riding, and it's dangerous. And they need your prayers. They've asked for your prayers. And they need God in their heart for safety and for their little family. I trust Brother Taylor won't forget to give them the finance that they're due tonight. So then whatever it might be, beloved friend, think it over. Think it over. See if you're doing anything for God. See if you're believing is in the Word tonight. And see if you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and if you want to do something for Jesus. As our brother comes tonight, consider these things.